doctor says. You must stop work now, and when you go downstairs, just say that I wish to see Brunton.
The butler's gone.
Gone where?
He's gone. He's lost in his room. No one's seen him. Oh, yes, he's gone. He's gone.
The girl was taken to her room, still screaming and sobbing, while I made inquiries about Brunton. There was no doubt that he had disappeared. His bed had not been slept in. He had been seen by no one since he had retired to his room the night before, and yet it was difficult to see how he could have left the house, as both windows and doors were found to be fastened in the morning. His clothes, his watch, and even his money were in his room, but the black suit which he usually wore was missing. His slippers, too, were gone, but his boots were left behind.
Boots? Presumably a search was made of the house and the grounds.
There was no trace of him. I called in the local police, but without success. Then came a new development which quite drew our attention away from the original mystery. For 2 days, Rachel Howes had been so ill, sometimes delirious, that a nurse had been employed to sit up with her. On the third night, after Brunton's disappearance, the nurse had apparently dozed off and woke in the early morning to find the bed empty, the window open, and no signs of the invalid. We followed her footmarks across the lawn to the edge of the mere, where they vanished close to the gravel path which leads out of the grounds. The lake there is 8 feet deep, and you can imagine our feelings when we saw that the trail of the poor demented girl came to an end at the edge of it.
Indeed.
I had the lake dragged at once, of course, but we could find no trace of the body.
I'm not surprised.
However, what we did bring to the surface was an object of the most unexpected kind. A linen bag, which contained within it a mass of old rusted and discoloured metal and several dull-coloured pieces of pebble or glass. This strange find was all that we could get from the mere, and although we made every possible search and inquiry yesterday, we know nothing of the fate of either Rachel Howes or Richard Brunton. The county police are at their wits' end, and I've come up to you as a last resource.
Yes, excellent. Let us see if we cannot piece together this extraordinary sequence of events and devise some common thread upon which they might all hang. And yet, I suspect that of all the factors in this case, not one of them gets quite to the heart of the matter.
In what way?
We must get to the starting point of this chain of events. There lies the end of this tangled line. Do you have a copy of that paper, Musgrave?
Yes, but I doubt if it will help.
Oh, your butler thought it worth consulting, even at the risk of the loss of his place.
Well, it's rather an absurd business, this ritual of ours. But it has at least the saving grace of antiquity to excuse it. As you can see, it's in question-and-answer form, a strange catechism to which each Musgrave had to submit when he came to man's estate.
Whose was it? His who is gone. Who shall have it?
He who will come.
Where was the sun?
Over the oak.
Where was the shadow?
Under the elm.
How was it stepped?
North by 10 and by 10... east by 5 and by 5, south by 2 and by 2, west by 1 and by 1, and so under.
Under. What shall we give for it?
All that is ours.
Why should we give it?
For the sake of the trust.
Yes, a strange catechism indeed.
The original has no date, but is in the spelling of the middle of the 17th century. I'm afraid it's of little help in solving this mystery.
Well, at least it gives us another mystery, and one which is even more interesting than the first. You'll excuse me, Musgrave, if I say that your butler appears to me to have been a very clever man and to have had a clearer insight than 10 generations of his masters.
I hardly follow you. The paper seems to me to be of no practical importance.
But to me it seems immensely practical, and I fancy that Brunton took the same view. He'd probably seen it before that night on which you'd caught him.
Very possible. We took no pains to hide it.
He simply wished, I imagine, to refresh his memory upon that last occasion. The other piece of paper you saw was no doubt some sort of map or chart which he was comparing with the manuscript.
But what could he have to do with this old family custom of ours? What does it all refer to?
I don't think we should have much difficulty in determining that. With your permission, we'll take the first train down to Sussex and go a little more deeply into the matter on the spot.
And what spot was that?
Hurlstone.
Ah, yes.
You may have seen pictures or read about the place, Watson. Mm. Quite a famous building.
Yes, I was there once. Built in the shape of an L, as I remember.
Well, you have it, yes. The longer arms, the modern portion.